And now let us listen to the junior choir sing, "Lead Me in Your Truth."
Please stand if you are able and let us sing the sermon hymn, number 515, "Since Jesus Came Into My Heart." Our scripture reading today is two readings. The first reading is from John chapter 10, verses 11 through 18. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I receive from my Father. Our second reading is from the book of Acts, chapter 4, verses 5 through 12. The next day, the rulers, elders, and teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there, and so was Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and the other men of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. By what power or what name did you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. He is the stone, meaning Jesus, the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Here ends the readings.
In one of my recent conversations with some colleagues of mine, pastors of other churches, we were discussing how often we recycle our sermons. And a few of us do not do that, at least in that conversation, where when we come to a passage each week, we always start fresh and write a new sermon. And evidently that can happen more when you don't stay at the same church for so long. So when you switch churches, it can be easier to recycle or reuse and go from there. But as I was thinking about sermons, I have preached four or five times on John chapter 10, but normally on verses 1 through 18. This is the first time the focus is on just John 10, 11 through 18. And as I did my study, it was taken in a totally different direction from some of those earlier sermons that have to do with the focus of Jesus being the shepherd and really what it means to know the voice and not know the voice. But I was led this time to really dwell on what we learn from Ezekiel 34 as we come into John chapter 10. So that's kind of a little intro, and for those of you who are at 8 o'clock, I didn't do that then because I was under the gun to get done. Now I have much more time. I can't tell you how many conversations I've had this week about short sermons, so I just try to go with what God has given me. The New International Version of the Bible makes over 500 references using the imagery of shepherd or sheep or lambs. That's a pretty significant number of images in the Bible where God uses those images of sheep and lamb and shepherd to teach us really about himself. When Jesus refers to himself as the good shepherd in the reading we've heard from John 10, a deeper study of John 10 quickly guides the reader, as I've said, to Ezekiel chapter 34. Or said another way, when a reader is studying the Old Testament in Ezekiel 34, the reader is quickly led to the imagery of John chapter 10, because Ezekiel 34 came first, and Jesus was here to fulfill that prophecy. When in John 10, when Jesus claims, says, "I am the good shepherd," his listeners of that day, they would have been mindful of Ezekiel's prophecy and that Jesus was fulfilling that earlier word. Ezekiel 34, that chapter is one of several chapters in the book of Ezekiel in which the Lord is seeking to offer comfort and judgment and even warning to Israel following the fall of the city of Jerusalem in 586 BC. In this chapter, we read of God's sovereignty. We read that God would be known for his restoration and his spiritual renewal of Israel. I want to take us back to Ezekiel 34 and read several sections of the verses from that chapter, and then I want to highlight some points. So to begin with Ezekiel 34, verses 1 through 6. "The word of the Lord came to me, 'Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to the shepherds of Israel, who only take care of themselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? You eat the curds, clothe yourselves with the wool, and slaughter the choice animals, but you do not take care of the flock. You have not strengthened the weak or healed the sick or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And when they were scattered, they became food for all the wild animals. My sheep wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. They were scattered over the whole earth, and no one searched or looked for them.'" That's a pretty scathing rebuke of the leaders of Israel, depicted in this passage in Ezekiel 34 as the shepherds, which was a common metaphor in the day referring to a ruler. The task of a shepherd was to take care of the flock of the sheep. But Israel's leaders were focused only on themselves and their own material gain. Instead of feeding the flock, they fed on the flock. They had not cared for the flock. They had failed to provide for the needy, and they had not gone in search of even one lost sheep. And so as a result, Israel had been led astray. They were scattered. Many were living in exile. They were lost with no protection. In this passage, God makes it very clear that a shepherd, a leader, has primary responsibility, care for those he leads. And then Ezekiel 34, verses 7 through 10. "Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, because my flock lacks a shepherd, and so has been plundered and has become food for all the wild animals, and because my shepherds did not search for my flock, but cared for themselves rather than for my flock, therefore, O shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. I am against the shepherds and will hold them accountable for my flock. I will remove them from tending the flock so that the shepherds can no longer feed themselves. I will rescue my flock from their mouths and it will no longer be food for them." Because of their failure to act as shepherds of the people, God holds those leaders accountable, and he's going to remove them from their place of leadership. And then God promises rescue to the flock. And then Ezekiel 34, verses 11 through 16. "For this is what the sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel, in the ravines, and in all the settlements in the land. I will tend them in a good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. There they will lie down in good grazing land, and there they will feed in a rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will tend my sheep and make them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. But the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. And in reading those verses, you can remember some of the imagery from Psalm 23. The Lord provides a very strong word of encouragement to the sheep. Not to the shepherds, but to the sheep, to the people of Israel who were scattered and living in exile. The Lord promises to search for them, to rescue them, and to gather them together once again. Their needs would be met, the lost would be found, the injured would be helped, and the weak would be strengthened. The Lord promises to shepherd with justice. And then Ezekiel 34, verses 22 through 24. I will save my flock, and they will no longer be plundered. I will judge between one sheep and another. I will place over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will tend them. He will tend them and be their shepherd. I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. God promises to appoint one true shepherd. In verses 23 and 24, we see the connection that Jesus draws upon when he's later preaching, as what we've read in John chapter 10. And that phrase, my servant David, occurs both in verse 23 and in verse 24. And there are nine other occurrences in the Old Testament of that phrase, my servant David. My servant David is a reference to the Messiah. And in Jeremiah 23, verses 5 and 6, it's a key verse that provides connection between David and the Messiah, the King, the Lord our righteousness. Jeremiah 23, 5 and 6 says, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up to David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness. The Lord says, I will raise up to David. He's not talking about David. He's talking about the righteous one. And that means from the Old Testament to the days of Jesus, he's fulfilling that prophecy of Ezekiel 34. We read then verses 30 and 31 of Ezekiel 34. Then they will know that I, the Lord their God, am with them and that they, the house of Israel, are my people, declares the sovereign Lord. You, my sheep, the sheep of my pasture, are people, and I am your God, declares the sovereign Lord. Ezekiel writes, then they will know. He wrote that in verse 30. Then they will know. That then worked out to be over 600 years from the days of Ezekiel to the days of Jesus, to the time and teaching of Jesus. With a summary understanding drawn from Ezekiel 34, as we return to the reading from John 10, I hope that we have gained somewhat a greater awareness of what Jesus was really saying when he described himself as, I am the good shepherd. Jesus declares that he is the true shepherd as prophesied in Ezekiel, that Ezekiel spoke of hundreds of years earlier. God sent his son as the shepherd of the sheep to fulfill that prophecy, I will place over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will tend them. He will tend them and be their shepherd. I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. As God spoke against the shepherds of Israel, speaking of the Jewish leaders, so in John 10, when Jesus made his claim to be the good shepherd, he was also speaking to the Pharisees, who claimed to fully know the scriptures. The Pharisees were focused on themselves, and they had forgotten to take care of the sheep. And Jesus is calling them out on that. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. That's an attitude. That's a way of life. That's living out the faith in the example of Jesus. The death that Jesus went through, that sick sacrificial death, it was a voluntary death. In laying down his life for the sheep, the good shepherd is ready to sacrifice his total self for the care of the sheep. And as we think about Jesus as the good shepherd, we see that realized from the crucifixion and the death to the resurrection on Easter Sunday morning. Jesus did that for the care of his flock, the care of his sheep, which is us. With that in mind, I want to quickly look at some of the images that Jesus uses and makes use of his lesson in chapter 10, in John 10. He lays down his life for the sheep. That's an example for us. Now, he's speaking against the Pharisees, and Ezekiel's speaking against the religious leaders. So, speaking also against pastors and religious leaders of today. But I pray that there are shepherds of the flock, there are shepherds in the church that have the attitude, the humble attitude of Jesus, and that we're willing to lay down our life for the sheep, to sacrifice things of the world, that it's not about material gain, but it's about finding and serving the lost and also the sheep of the fold. Notice how the shepherd owns the sheep. And by owning the sheep, he knows the sheep, and the sheep know him. I've preached on that point three other times in the recent past. The recent past being 25 years. Sorry about that. That aspect of knowing. And then there's this key point about the shepherd not only taking care of the flock, but he brings in other sheep. Jesus, as the true shepherd, started with the sheep of Israel, but then he reached out for others, and the Gentiles came in. And as shepherds of the church and as disciples as shepherds, great example from Freedom International, we are called to bring in other sheep that they too might know the voice of the true shepherd. And then there's that hired hand, talking about the religious leaders of the day. Still, even today, who are concerned for themselves rather than for the sheep. And that's an attitude of faith. And that's why Jesus spends so much time talking about and giving an example of humble service. Those hired hands, when the wolf comes, he abandons the sheep and he runs away. When hard time comes, we have to stay in there with our people. We have to stay in there with our family, with our friends, with our church family, and help them make it through whatever that attack might be. Because the hired hand cares nothing for the sheep. That hired hand would run away because he's only concerned about his pay. The true shepherds care about the people and don't worry about the pay. And then there's the wolf, or the wolves. Back in the days of Jesus, he's talking about the persecutors that would come in. In today's world, as we think about the wolves that might attack us, that can be the ways of the world, and we'll be talking about some of those things in the near future, about some of the things the world is trying to promote. But it's also talking about sin. The sin that we find attractive. The sin that we struggle with. Those wolves come in. We need the shepherd to protect us. We need the word of God sown in our hearts and our minds that we can speak that word and say no to that temptation and stay away from that sin. As we think about Ezekiel 34 and about John chapter 10, we realize that leaders, they come and go. They rise and fall. But Jesus remains the same. That other age-old promise from Scripture, Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. I love that illustration of the string. It's a saying that timeline goes on forever in the grace of Jesus Christ. In our reading from Acts chapter 5 and verse 8, when talking about the rulers and the elders, I want to share with you from 1 Peter 5 verses 2 and 3, which is Peter's call to what it means to be a leader in the church or a leader of the faith. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not greedy for money, but eager to serve, not lording over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. That's a passage directed towards pastors, towards church leaders. But I also believe it's a passage that can speak to all of us, because we all can be shepherds of our family, of whatever relationship we might be, or our coworkers, or what we might do on vacations with others. We can be those examples to the flock. And then I want to close with John's further words from 1 John 3:16. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and our sisters. And laying down our lives may not be the ultimate sacrifice, but as we humble ourselves and as we serve, we lay down our lives, we sacrifice ourselves for the good of others. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that these thoughts are just a beginning, that all that have heard these words this day would go home or go wherever they might be today and spend further time thinking and knowing Jesus as the true shepherd, the good shepherd, thanking Jesus and praising Jesus for the way he cares for the flock, but also finding those ways where we can sacrifice ourselves and serve others for the glory of the kingdom and the peace of all God's people. Amen.
Please stand if you are able. And let us sing the closing hymn, number 462, Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. After the closing hymn, please remain standing for the spoken benediction, and then the benediction in song, which will be number 602, verse 1 of God Be With You, verse 1.
knowing the blessed Jesus. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.